Again, the shiur is dedicated to Refuah Shleima Yosef Mordechai Simcha Ben Bina, and also to Eloi Nishmas Chaim Ruvain Ben Avram. Okay, Parshas Tetzaveh. There's one major theme of Parshas Tetzaveh. There's a little bit of other things at the end, but a major theme of Parshas Tetzaveh is while Parshas Truma, exactly, right on Simi, the Parshas Truma was the Mishkan, and Parshas Tetzaveh is, as Simi said, the garments, the Big Day Kahuna, the begotten the Kohen wears. So we're going to focus, first of all, on it as a general picture, and then we're going to pick one specific, I'm not even going to call it a beged, but one specific aspect of the Big Day Kahuna. So let's start with Perek Chav Ches. As the right, Pesach Perek Chav Zayin, the end of the Perek was more of a continuation of Truma in terms of the, I guess it's a segue, in terms of the the menorah, and this is what you should do with the menorah and how to light the candles. And Parak Chav Ches starts the Atah Hikriv Aleches Aron Nechicha V'yas Banavi Tol Mitoch B'nei Yisrael Chanoli. You should bring from amongst the amongst you, amongst Sheva Levi, you should separate and bring close to you Aron and his children to be the Kohanim. Aron Adav Yivul Eliyazav Yisamar B'nei Aron. Those four are the Aaron and those four and his sons are the Kohanim. Vasisa Bigde Kodesh Aaron Achicha L'Chavod U'L'Seferes. And you should make for them, giving commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's in charge of making the Bigde Kodesh, Holy Begadim. Discuss what Kiddusha they have. For Aaron, your brother, and we'll translate these words, L'Chavod U'L'Seferes. But I guess for honor and for glory, for lack of a better translation. And then the Torah describes, Hashem commands Moshe to speak to the Chachmelev, the people who are experts in building these things, and it lists off the begadim, the choshen, the ephod, the meal, the ketonis, the tashbetz, mitznefes, the avne, those are the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and there are four for the Kohen Hedyon, and it describes how to make them. What the Ramban focuses on are the words of the chavod ulisafares, that the begadim should be for honor and for glory. What exactly do those things mean? And the Ramban is, what he does classically, is going to have two layers of interpretation. First, he's going to explain it in a very simple way, a way that we can all relate to, and then he's going to take it one level deeper, which hopefully we'll be able to understand. So let's begin. L'chavod U'L'Seferes. She'e nichbad u'mufuar, but mu'ushim nichbad u'mufuarim. It's very simple. They are very important people. The Kohen Gadol is the most important person in the Mikdash, so it makes sense that they should have beautiful clothing that reflects his importance. And the more his clothing stand out to be extraordinary clothing, then you'll see how important of a person he is. K'mo she'amar HaKosev, ki'chasein yichahein pa'er. Like a chasson, the Kohen should be of glory of beauty. A very simple theory to explain all the Big Day Kahuna. Why do they all look like that? If you look at the picture, they seem to be not your average-looking begadim. The Ramban says, no, the Torah didn't just... Where did Hashem get this idea from? At the time the Torah was given, at the time that they were living in the Midbar, around, maybe not exactly the same, but something like this, this is how kings dressed. The crown of the king looked a lot like the ketonis, right? The mitznefes, right? A lot like the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol. That's the way that the crown lurked. So then he's gonna explain. K'moshe matzina b'ketonis, v'asulo ketonis pasim. Sorry, the ketonis is the robe, right? Why did Yaakov make for Yosef Ketonis Pasim? Because that was a very, very important looking beged. Pirish Mikrumas Kedmus Pasim Behu Ketonis Tashbetz. Just like it's woven together from different pieces, so too, that's the Ketonis Tashbetz. Kemosha Pirish Rehlibisho Keben Malche Kedem. As based on his paraphrasing of Pasuk in Yeshaya, just like they would dress them as the ancient kings. Chena Derech B'Meil Ketonis. That's the same is true by the meal and the ketonis as well, because of Yale ketonis pasim ki chen talbushu benos hamelach habesulos me'alim. Just like the princesses wore certain outfits, similarly, that's a Kohen Gadol. Pirish ki yale ketonis pasim nireis v'niglis ki aminig lovosh benos hamelach habesulos me'ilim she'te'aflenu behen. Just like the princesses wrapped themselves around these robe-type garments, so too by the Kohen. V'nimsa she'ketonis pasim aleh malbush elyon. So you see from here that's the outer garment. Similarly, the mitznefes, the way that we wear the hat is exactly the way the kings would wear it. When the king falls, when it's time for a new king, you take the mitznefes down and you raise up the crown. It calls him its nefes, though. The Ramban actually has his own opinion of what the mitznefes was, and this pasuk is part of his proof. He argues with Rashi. Rashi describes the mitznefes to be more of a hat, and the Ramban describes it as something more that you would wrap around. So this pasuk says mitznif, right, more of a turban. Mitznif melucha, and that's what it's describing, the thing that you wrap around, the turban of the malchus. V'chein yikrim akasav pa'arei ha-migvaos. I'm going to describe the migvaos. It describes him as pa'er, of glory. V'ksiv pa'arei pishtim yu'al roshon, roshon. And when the we actually read this haftorah, I think Parsha Shlach, when the Navi Yecheskel says describes what the Kohen looks like, it also uses the lashon of pe'er, of glory. Shem pe'er v'shevach lemachtirim bahem. They are a glory. Who's it a glory for? It's not a glory for Hashem. It's a glory and it's praise for the ones that wear them. They're such important begadim that we're going to give glory and praise to whoever's wearing these begadim. Va'ifod v'achoshin levush malchus. And the ephod, the plate, the choshe mishpah that he wears is also the levush of kings. Inyan shekasav v'hamenicha dai da'ava al tzavarecha. That you should, just like the king wore a golden thing around his neck, so too, hanging from his neck, the ephod and the choshe of the golden things around his neck. V'atzitz nezer ha-melachimu. The tzitz is like the crown, the ultimate crown, the tzitz that says Hashem's name on it. V'ksiv yatzitz nizro. Pasuk in Tehillim describes that it uses the word tzitz as a verb. That the tzitz should be placed on like a crown. V'heim azav argaman v'tcheles. V'ksiv kol kvoda bas melech pnima mishpatza zahav luvusha. The princess, the bas melech, wears these types of begadim from these materials. V'ksiv argonah talbush v'himnacha dai d'haval tzavarecha. Again, seeing gold connected to the malchus. And that explains gold, but what's the other major material that the garments are made of? Tcheles. And he says, V'tcheles gam hayom, lo yorim ishes yado lovosh chutz bimelech goyim. The Ramban says, even nowadays, when I'm writing, in the time of Rishonim, the tcheles, this color tcheles, this color blue, even today, no one will lift up his hands and think, oh, who am I to put on tcheles except if you're a king? A simple person would never put on tcheles. Tcheles was only set aside for important people. How do we know this? From the Megillah. Because Mordechai yatzel lefnei ha-melech, levush malchus. What's the first thing listed on the levush of the malchus? Tchilas. Tchilas v'chor v'atar zav, gelov v'tuch v'ot v'argumon, v'tachrich ha-hu ha-me'il she'itav bo. And the tachrich that's described in that pasuk is the same thing as our me'il. So you see from that pasuk two things. A, the tchilas, and B, the me'il, were all big day malchus. So that's Ramban's simple explanation. It's a very compelling explanation, and he thinks that it's historically true. I'm sure if someone did the research and checked it out, it would verify that. And that's a very good explanation for what it means, l'chavru l'seferis, in a simple way. It means these begadim themselves are that. They are honored begadim, and they're glorified begadim. They're beautiful, and they're made of very fancy materials, and only someone who's deserving of kavod like a king would wear them. So since the coat...
Yeah. Since when did Jews become so enamored with what you look like?
What you look like. So we'll get back. So hold that, and if it's not satisfied, you let me know. We'll get back to that in a minute. Right, and just like the...
Look ahead.
It's not, the Ramban doesn't discuss it, but we'll use the Ramban to explain something that the Sefer HaChinuch addresses that point directly. And so these begadim, only someone who's an honored person, who is deserving of honor, like the Kohen Gadol, who is going to be the ultimate figure in the Mishkan, is deserving of these begadim. But now the Ramban says, let's focus al derech ha-emes, based on the Ramban's understanding, let's try to focus on what the words l'chavru l'seferis mean in the context of the Mishkan. Yomer shiasu bigdei kodesh l'aron l'sharis behem. What's the kavod? Not describing the begadim anymore. They're not begadim that are deserving of honor. Rather, Aaron wears these begadim when he serves Hashem in the Mikdash l'kavod Hashem. The begadim are honoring not the one who wears them, and they themselves are mechavod begadim. Rather, they show kavod to the one who is resting in the Mishkan, Hashem. Hashokin besocham l'tferes uzam, and the glory of his strength. Kedichsev ki tferes azumu ata. Right, I think we say this on Rosh Hashanah. Go for it. So you'll give us a rendition. So the
shofar blowing says that.
The shofar blow, right? That's exactly right. So the tferes of it, where you see this concept of tferes and oz, the glory of his strength. We'll explain what that means. Referring to the Beis HaMikdash, the Navi Yishai uses the Lashon of Teferis. So you see, there's some connection between Teferis and the Big Day Kehuna, and Teferis of the Beis HaMikdash. And what is that glory? Again, strengthen Teferis in his Mikdash. And this time, a Pe'er, which the Ramban thinks is interchangeable with Teferis, this glorified beauty, and Kavod in the same Pasuk, referring to Makom Mikdashi, the place of the Mikdash. Shia Makom HaMikdash Mufur B'Teferis. The place of the Mikdash should be with beauty. It should be glorified with beauty. Umakum raglav shu makum beis hamikdash mechubad bechavod Hashem. And the makum of his raglav, what's the place of Hashem's feet, so to speak? That is the base of Hamikdash. That's where Hashem rests. Pechein b'Yisrael yispire. Now here's a key line to starting to understand what he's referring to. Similarly, just like Hashem is glorified in the base of Hamikdash, he's glorified by Klal Yisrael. What does that mean, Teferis? I think we've described this before, but the basic understanding of Teferis is when a lot of different components come together and make one tapestry, right? You have a lot of colors, and seemingly when you see the artist throwing this color here and that color there, and you don't really know what he's doing, and in the end, then you see the finished result, and it's something beautiful. Also, like a symphony is a good way of describing it, where each person on his own, you know, is just playing his instrument, and it seems to be a chaos, but once the conductor and with the notes puts the symphony in order, so it comes out to being something beautiful. The same is true in the concept in Kabbalah as well, that we know there are different midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents himself in this world. There's chesed and din and rachamim and his malchus and etc. And when all those things come together and they mesh, even though they seem to sometimes be contradictions, right? Gvura and chesed and din and rachamim are contradictions to each other. How can Hashem exist at the same time with judgment and also his mercy at the same time? But that's what Hashem is able to do, is to bring that to Pharis. And the Beis HaMikdash is a perfect place for that, because there, also in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a meshing of different things that seem to be contradictory. The Beis HaMikdash is a physical place, and like Mark asked, it's a physical place where last week's parsha, why are we putting so much emphasis on gold, and all the Jewish people bring their jewelry? If you would have said, what's the Beis HaMikdash, what you would imagine the golem of the generation being in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, they would say you should have a small room, you know, put a few svarim in there, and put a shtender, and maybe light a few candles, and that's it. We try to be simplistic. Why do we have to go through so
there's
much?
There's also idols in this parsha.
Exactly, Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kodashim seems to be a very not at first Jewish concept. To have the Kruvim on top of the holiest thing with the Aron in, it's very strange. Just put the Luchos, the symbol Luchos, and the Kruvim, very hard thing. But the overall concept is that it's a meshing of the physicality and the spirituality. The fact that the place that Hashem chooses to put a Shechina in happens to be a place that has glory and gold and these Kruvim, which is a topic in its own right, is trying to drive this point home, to mesh, yeah, to think that it's not a contradiction. Where Hashem's resting in Shechina can be, should be a place of beauty and glorification. And that's what the Big Day Kahuna represents as well. And it fits with the Ramban's first approach, that they are very fancy Big Day Malchus. Those Big Day Malchus that the non-Jewish kings wore, were they probably just used to raise themselves up, to raise their guy up, to bring themselves above the people. That's probably what their intentions were, those big of them. The Big Day Kahuna becomes Teferis. No, it's not just for the person to raise himself up, but it's to mesh that with the whole message of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Shechina could rest here on this earth. So the Beis HaMikdash is a place where lots of different, seemingly not concepts that can't coexist so well together, can coexist in a beautiful way. And that's what the Big Day Kuna represent, and that's the pasuk that the Ramban quotes, V'chein bi Yisrael yispire. Not only is Hashem's glory in the Beis HaMikdash, it's in Klal Yisrael. Hashem could have just, so to speak, stayed up in Shemayim and not gotten so directly involved in this world. Through us, through Klal Yisrael, through his Shechina, which A, rests in the Beis HaMikdash, but then carries out even nowadays into every single Jewish neshama. So you see from there that Hashem's glory is in people, is in human beings. And who are those human beings? Klal Yisrael. So you see that the Beis HaMikdash and Klal Yisrael also have that same idea. And that's the same point in the Big Day Kuna. She'emare miyuchad behem tefarto. Through their beauty, you should see the Tferes. This idea, v'chein amar lamata, gam Big Day HaBanim, kulam l'chavlu Tferes. Not only, and don't think and come and say, no, it's only true by Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is only the one that reached that Tferes. But his children, the Kohanim going forward, they lost it. And Ramban says no, because even when it describes the Big Day Kohen Hedjo, the four Begadim, it says ulivnei Aaron tase ketones vasis lehem avneitim migbaolos tase lehem lechavu l'safares. For Bnei Aaron, it lists the three, the ketones, the avneit, and the migbaolos, which is the same thing as the mitznefes, the hat, which is called different things, or kohen hedge, kohen gadol. And it's missing the chavru tefaris as well for the big for the bnei aron. It's missing the mechnasayim. It's a whole separate discussion why the mechnasayim are a separate parsha. Are they exactly on the same level? The other three begadim is a big discussion. Not for now. So also by Aaron's children, it says tefaris v'chein amar bekarbanos. And not only is it the big day kahuna, but the karbanos have that same idea. Yalu aratzim is bechi ubeis tefarti afair through. The ratzon, through the ritzah that Hashem gets from the karbanos, there's also glorification. It's the same exact idea. We're bringing something physical, an animal, which we would think is not something, and we know that Hashem really has no interest in it and doesn't get anything from it except from the fact that we're moser our nefesh to bring it over to Him. Beyond that, what does Hashem receive from a par or a sire? But we see that we're trying to bring the physical and bring the tefaris together. That's his idea. And then the Ramban continues and says, "V'hayah begadim tzrichen asiya lishman v'itachin shiel tzrichen kavana." Then he says, which we'll discuss, but that the begadim need to be made lishma with specific intentions for their purpose. You can't just say, "Oh, someone happened to have made exactly the right requirements, a beautiful beged that he intended to use for a different purpose." He didn't make it l'shem kohen gadol, l'shem kohen hedgel, l'shem beis hamikdash. He just made it. Maybe he wanted to just make a replica and with the intention of not using the beis hamikdash. So that's no good. The begadim need to be l'shma, and this is not clear what he's adding here. They also have kavana. V'l'chein amar v'atat t'daber al kol chachmei lev, asher melesav ruach chachma. What does it mean, chachmei lev? Why do you need chachmei lev? So pashup shot is, you need chachmei lev because they have to be very good. They have to be expert tailors. That's what it means, chachmei lev. That they should know exactly how to make these begadim. But the Ramban says that's not enough. Because it says, Hashem, milas of ruach chachma. They're filled with your spiritual chachma. Why? Because there's a whole message that's behind the big day kuna. They have to put that into the big day kuna. Those intentions, why they're making it. So you have to have very lofty people who are in charge of making them. Shiavinu mashiyasu. They have to understand, what are they doing? They're not just making any clothes, fancy big day malchus. They're making the big day kuna. The kfar amru, t'mus yukno minatzach lefnei beis milchamte, that the tumus diukno of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is minetzach lefana, is always in front of him in the Beis Hamikdash. That I'm not sure where he's quoting from there. What exactly he's trying to get from? Where is
it's
that?
Kabbalistic, and it's not necessary for our elucidation.
What does it say? Yeah, I think it's a Gemara. That's what. Where they stopped right there.
They stopped there.
His closing comments. But they brought it in there. Kfar Amru Dmus, they even quoted it.
Yeah, they quoted
okay.
It.
Okay, that part, so as Rabbi Artscroll says, that's beyond our elucidation, I didn't look into that. Okay, so we'll get back to the Lushma and the Kavanah. There's one point to make on that, but just before that, this is also to answer Mark's question. So this idea, Lechav Lusifaris and the Big Dekuna, other Rishonim picked up on this as well. And the Sefer Chinuch has a famous idea that I'm sure you've all heard in other contexts, and this is one of his main places that he describes this. The Sefer Chinuch has a famous idea of Acharei pulos nimshachos alevavos, that after actions, the heart will follow. Meaning that the point of many mitzvahs of the Torah is to create a certain idea, a certain mindset. It's very difficult for a person to have the proper mindset just by saying, okay, I'm going to sit and think about this idea. So rather, the Torah says there's going to be a tool, there's going to be a way, a practical, tangible way to reach that idea, reach that mindset. So he says, the Big Day Kuna are the exact example of that. It shouldn't be necessary. Really, ideally, we shouldn't need all the Gashmias, and we should realize that the Shekhinah, the cover that it deserves, the fact that this is a physical place where Hashem's Shekhinah rests, and Hashem's presence is constantly there, we don't need anything to remind us of that. We should feel that cover right away. But that's the same thing with the cover of our base Knesset. We should totally recognize it the second we walk in. But sometimes we need tools, tangible tools, to help us do that. Since that's the point of the Big Day Kuna. That's why you make them so beautiful. Because the person, if they were just plain, even just plain fancy clothes, they weren't the ultimate L'chavu L'safar, so a person wouldn't appreciate what is going on, what's going on in the base of Midrash in this idea of the Teferis. The Torah says, make them the fanciest that you can. Look at the kings, and don't just take the simplest king, the nicest king's clothes you can find. That's what the Big Day Kuna should be like. To drive home that idea, hopefully our hearts will lock into those ideas only through the actions. So the action here is for the make these fancy clothes, they should be able to be more relatable to the idea of how deserving of a kavod that Beis HaMikdash is. So
couldn't you say just the opposite?
Yes.
I walked into the Beis Hamikdash. She needs to see somebody dressed up fancy. I mean, you walk into the Beis Hamikdash.
That's the point. That's
and I'm walking into.
It's Joe's exactly
bar.
The point, and it's not such an easy thing to maintain. That's why I think we just. I don't know if we discussed this, but
it's
the.
Like
but,
dressing up like perm.
Right, but the well, it's some people. I think my son 1 year dressed up as a couple on perm. So some people do dress up on perm.
It's a good thing.
But I think we discussed this. I don't know, if, maybe here, different context. That the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that the reason why there's so many halachos pertaining to tumah in the Beis Hamikdash, right? How come, you know, there's different levels of where a person can go depending on what state of impurity they're in, and the reason why the Torah gives this is because we don't want the Beis Hamikdash to become a place where you could just show up and it turns into almost kivyachol like Joe's bar. Where if a person feels they have easy access to the Beis Hamikdash whenever they want, it's going to become, they're going to lose the appreciation that you see all the time by the shul. That it's totally different, besides the fact that you know that it's the Makam HaMikdash. A person's tefillah experience in the Kotel doesn't compare to every day in the shul. But, okay, it's gradations. The same Shechina rests in our shul. It's not to the same level, but we don't have that appreciation because every day it becomes rote. So that's why the Rambam says that you can't go to the Beis Hamikdash every day. You have to go to the mikvah before. You have to make sure you're tar to give that proper kavod to the Beis Hamikdash. And Begdei Kuna are not, they're the more Aseh Tov of that aspect. Not, don't have a negative. But yeah, take stock and realize how beautiful this place is. And if it was just a plain room, you would say the Shekhinah's here. But the fact that they made it so beautiful with the gold, and you see these people who are on great spiritual levels walking around in these clothing, you realize that who are the real Malachim, who deserve the kavod? These great people.
How
and
often do the Kohen Gadol
appear? Good question. So the Kohen Gadol actually, I don't know where he
maybe
was stationed.
Once a year?
Well, no, once a year he did the special avoda.
Nobody saw him.
But yeah, well, the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah actually to be in the Beis Hamikdash every day. He's not supposed to leave the Beis Hamikdash while he's being oveid. That's why the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. If a Kohen Hedyot has one of the Krovim, the Zion Krovim, that he's metame for, so he leaves the Mikdash and goes to Levaya. Kohen Gadol, he will miss his own mother. If it's the Avodah, he's going to miss his own mother's Levaya. He's commanded to not leave the Mikdash. He can't eat the Karbanos. He can't do certain things because he's technically an Onin. But he has to be constantly based on the Mikdash. He had a special office. I don't know when he appeared. And the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol was able to do any. All the other Kohanim were divvied up into 24 groups. And within those groups, there were subsections. And basically, a Kohen worked 1 or 2 weeks a year. Of any given Kohen. And the Kohen Gadol is able to bring any carbon he wants whenever he wants. So if he said, and he had a mitzvah to bring a carbon every day of of a special mincha, but if he just showed up and you're bringing a carbon, and even though, you know, Kohen Yanko was scheduled to bring your carbon, Kohen Gadol could show up and say, I want to take this carbon today, now it's my time. And there, people did experience and see the glory of the Kohen Gadol, but they saw the glory of the Kohen Hedyot also, which the Ramban pointed out in Pasuk Lamed, that, They're begadim also, the Bnei Aaron or the Chavru Sefaris. And the
added. Right, so then how does that explain the first part? I don't want to interrupt you. But then the first part, the Ramban explains the Chavru Sefaris is that they were dressed so fancy.
They were dressed so fancy, right?
Right. And then now you're saying that the plain Kohanim was also.
No, they did have.
No, they had.
They had the purple.
The Torah still was.
Okay.
At least they had.
You can't come in a plushie to shirt.
Look, the blue is very nice on you. It's a very good color for you, Abe.
That's why in the shoe, when they put a piece of wood down on the floor.
It's actually.
Thank God we got the right lighting, though.
The clock is still.
All right. We can have our Bedeka bias complaints later. No, so just one point on this Ramban is actually an important halacha point. Where the Ramban describes that the Big Day Kahuna have to be done l'shma, so that's not obvious to all. Not everybody, not all the Rishonim comment on or necessarily accept that. It seems to be a chiddush of the Ramban. I think the Menchas Chinuch questions where the Ramban got that from. Does everybody agree to it? But it really, it being Lishma, gets to the idea of what the point of the Big Day Kuna are in a halachic sense. The Ramban was giving the deeper sense al pi machshava that there's two machloksim about the Big Day Kuna that might fit into the Ramban's idea of being Lishma. It doesn't work out perfectly. There's one machlok is of what level of Kedusha. He said the Big Day Kuna were Kaddish. To what level of Kedusha, the Torah says, to what level of Kedusha do the Big Day Kahuna have? We know that there's two levels of Kedusha in the Beis Hamikdash. There's Kadshei Bedek HaBayis, which means that something was sanctified, not to go on the Mizbeach, and it's like a carbon and has a very high level of Kedusha, it was sanctified that it should be part of Bedek HaBayis, the upkeep of the house. If I have extra things lying around my house, I say this is now Kadosh the Bedek HaBayis, and either if it's useful for the Beis Hamikdash, like it's, you know, screws and nails and bricks, they'll take it right away and put it in. If it's not useful, They'll sell it off, they'll auction it off, they'll take that money which becomes sanctified, and they'll pay for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So every day, the practical upkeep. That's one level. That's Kachay Bedek HaBayis. Then there's something we call Kachay Mizbeach, or Kiddushas HaGuf, where it's not just the money is earmarked for the Beis HaMikdash, but there's inherent sanctity in, let's say, that carbon's the easiest example. The carbon's not just for the upkeep, there's inherent sanctity to the carbon, and therefore there's different halachos and me'ilah when it comes to those two types of Kiddushas. So the Rishonim and Kiddushin argue about Bigdei Kahuna. Toso says that the Bigdei Kahuna are like a Kli Sharis. They're Kachi Kedushas HaGuf. They are like the Kalim that are used to bring the Karbanos. So too, the Bigdei Kahuna are the Kalim the Kohen uses and wears to bring Karbanos. But the other Rishonim there, the Rabban amongst them, says that no, it's like Kachi Bedek HaBayis. They're not Kalim that have inherent sanctity that are set aside for the Mizbech, but they're Kachi Bedek HaBayis. They're similar to the things that are the upkeep for the Beis HaMikdash, and they also argue, basically, it's basically two different Gemaras that sound two different ways. What's the essence, the point of the Bigdei Kahuna? Is it for the Kohen, or it's for the Avoda? One Gemara says that Bizman Shebigdeyam Aleihem Kunasam Aleihem. While they're wearing their Begadim, then they have the status of Kuna. Actually, sounds like that from the Pesukim. If you see the introduction to the Bigdei Kahuna, is that you should set aside Aaron, your brother and his children, for Kahuna, and make him Bigdei Kahuna. It sounds like the Begadim are helped set him aside. Where other people say, no, of course he's a Kohen without the Begadim. It's part, the Avoda needs Begadim. And all these ideas might tie together. The more you need them Lishma, the more it would point to them being a Kli Sharis. They are inherent sanctity that are used for, just like a carbon has to be Lishma, so too the Bigdei Kahuna has to be Lishma. And once that's true, it would follow that they're like a Kli Sharis, that they're part of what defines the Avoda, whereas the more you would view it as Kachi Bedek HaBayis and more not needing Lishma, it could be that they would be more geared towards just the aspect of a Kohen there, that you wouldn't necessarily need it to be like the Avoda to be Lishma. The Ramban happens to go 2 out of 3 consistently. He says that there's a separate mitzvah to wear the Bigdei Kahuna, not tied to the Avoda. It's a separate mitzvah that there's something, and they actually the Bigdei Kahuna themselves bring kapara, the Gemara says. That just the fact of wearing them, even though you're not bringing carbon, that brings kapara for certain averos. The Ramban says that, and the Ramban here also says that they need lishma, but the Ramban does not say that they are the highest level of kedusha of Kli Sharis, which you would expect him to say with those two aspects. So just to focus quickly with the time we have left on one of the specific quote-unquote begadim. So the beged that the Torah is describing here in Psukim, Perchav Ches, Psukim, Choshen Mishpat, so that's starting from, it's a lot of Psukim devoted to Choshen Mishpat, Pasuk Tesvav, Maskisa Choshen Mishpat, Masa Choshev, Kamai Seyofe, Eifo, Tasa, Zahav, Tchelis, V'agaman, Salah, Shani, V'sheish, Mazdar, Tasa, so you should make the Choshen Mishpat from all these materials, and the Torah describes how to make it, and where to put the hooks, and to chain it on, and how to have the two columns of the stones, and which stones. And then, amongst the Choshen Mishpat, the Torah sticks in the following pasuk lamed. V'nasat al Choshen Mishpat esa urim v'esa tumim. V'yu al liv arim v'vol lifnei Adonai v'nasa arim esa mishpat b'nei Yisrael libo lifnei Adonai tamid. And Aaron should put the urim v'tumim on top of the Choshen Mishpat, and it should be there constantly, and they should bring their mishpat, we'll see what that means, of Hashem in front of them. So we've shown him here of a big discussion. What are these Urim V'tumim? The Ramban picks up on the fact that it says, "Benasata el choshen hamishpat." You should put el and on are interchangeable. You put two or put on, put al the choshen hamishpat, the Urim V'tumim. So it sounds like there's something separate that you're putting on top of the Urim V'tumim. So some Rishonim don't think that, and I guess they have a little bit of trouble with this pasuk. I think there are some that think the Rabbam never mentions, when he mentions the different begadim in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, he never mentions that the Urim V'tumim is something separate. So a lot of the Mefarshim deduce from there that it must be that he thinks that they're one and the same of the Choshen Mishpat. The Torah is telling you the Choshen Mishpat have A, their Bigdei Kahuna, and B, they have something else on them, nothing additional you're placing on them, but there's something else about them. They're also the Urim V'tumim. They are something that could to guide us to the message of Hashem. That's just practically whether or not there's something different. The Ramban thinks there are something different. But what are they? So first he quotes Ibn Ezra, who says something that's a little controversial, who says, L'ischakim b'inyin ha'urim v'tumim v'amr ki hei maisa uman kesef v'zav. Just like the other Bigdei Kahuna are made by skilled workers, so too these are made out of gold and silver, and they take skilled work. He says there's something like something that an astronomer would use. They have tsurus, they have the structure, the picture of like a shemesh or yireach, and there are ways of telling futures through using physical means. And he says that he got it from the Gaonim, seems to say it this way. It's not even clear if you look at Ibn Ezra. They reference it on Pasuk Vav. It's all the way back in Pasuk Vav. They're using this one. If there's two, this Chumash, the Taurus Chaim, is two versions of Ibn Ezra, the Perisha Katzer and the Perisha Aruch. So it's in the Perisha Aruch. He describes all the Big Day Kahuna. And over here, I think around footnote 58, if I remember, 58. So there, it's a long piece. There he describes Urim V'Tumim. I can't really understand what he's saying, but the Ramban, I guess, understood. That's what he says. I mean, there's one line where he says, "Urim V'Lo Atumim Zav V'Kesef Hayu." They're made of Zav V'Kesef. Mispar Yadua B'Mirayas Gemuros Me'Elyon V'Hashafel. From the bottom and the top, it's clear what this is. V'Hamask L'Yavin. And he says earlier that it's a Sod. So I guess he knew what he was talking about, and very few people besides Ramban probably understood what he was talking about. But the point is that it's not what Rashi says. What does Rashi say? Shall shame kasav shall shame hamfurash, the name that we don't pronounce is on the Urim V'Tumim. The nasim bein kaf liachoshen. All it is, it's nothing. It's not a ma'is uman. You don't need any skilled work for it. It's the name of Hashem that's put between the Torah describes in the following the pesukim after the zayin yud zayin, how it's folded over the choshen. It's put in the folds of the choshen. When it describes to get chachmei lev, who are experts in building, it says the begadim. But here by the Urim V'Tumim, it doesn't say you need experts in clothing to make Urim V'Tumim. Why? Because it's not a ma'is uman. When it says the commandment of the Big Day Kahuna and the actions of making them, it does not describe the Urim V'Tumim. It just sticks in this one pasuk here. So it seems like it's something different. When it lists do these. It doesn't say and do the Urim V'Tumim because it didn't need a special asiya. V'lo yomar v'yas ha'urim v'atumim v'ilo hayam ma'isa charesh v'chacham hayam marich pam yosem akol. If it was such an exquisite thing to make, then the Torah would have said more than everything else how to make them. So then we'll skip down a little bit. So rather, what is it? It's the Shem Hashem that goes on the choshen. And what's the point of it? So if you skip down, let's see on the sheet where it is. It says. Okay, so let's start from here. The last line of the bracket at the colon at the line of Inyan Hu Ki Hashemus Kedoshim Mikocham Yairu HaOsios Me'Avnei HaChoshen Al Einei HaKohen HaShol B'Mishpat. So the Gemara does describe this. They can't really get around that. The Gemara describes in Yuma, I think on Daf Ayin Gimel, that the names of the Shvatim that Ayin Gimel basically quoted, the names of the Shvatim would light up. So if that's true, then what's the Shem Hashem? The Shem Hashem's not lighting up. So he says, no, it's through the koach of the Shem Hashem that gives the nuvua, so to speak, to the names and the letters on the choshen. Hamashal, ki kasha shal mi ala lanu el ha-knani, betchila lihilachim. When they asked, in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, right, the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, they haven't fully conquered all the nations in Eretz Yisrael. Who should go up? Hayakohen mechavin b'shem ha-shehim ha-urim. The Kohen would think about based on his, because he has reached such high spiritual levels, he knows all the intricate workings of the Shem Hashem. He would think about the different combinations of the Shem Hashem, which is what's called the Urim, the lights. It works perfectly, because Urim V'Tumim is a hard word to translate. It's not clear that we shouldn't have different expressions of what it means, but according to Ramban, the Urim, through the Shem Hashem, his eyes will become lit up. Osios Yehuda. Now, due to the Urim, the osios of one of the names on the choshen of the shvatim will light up. Pamacheres leneged einav ha'alfi ha'hemi Yehuda v'nikasha ha'osios me'iros al'enei ha'kohen adayin lo yados siduran. Now, they lit up, but now the Kohen has to play word jumble, whatever it would be called, to put the letters together, kimina osios asher sadur mehen Yehuda ya'aleh. So there in Shoftim it said Yehuda Yala, Yehuda should go up and make the battle. But what could it also have said? Ashla Sos Bem Havi Had Aleha. Oh, hey Al Yehuda. So there's different ways you can put the letters together. It wouldn't necessarily tell you the right message. How do you know how to interpret the message of the Urim V'Tumim? But Tevas Acheres Rabos Ma'od. if you're very good at it, you can put tons of words together. There were two aspects, I don't really understand what this means in full, but there were two aspects of the name of Hashem. Some were the Urim, that caused the letters to light up, and now Tumim. What does Tumim mean? It means to be Tumim. When my heart is whole with Hashem, I'll have the right insight. So I might get a general message, a broadcast. I don't know how to put it all together. The names of the Tumim will help me then unjumble the letters, unscramble the letters, and figure out what the proper message that Hashem is sending the Klal Yisrael. He's one important line here. And then he says, "Vizos," two lines down, "Vizos madrego mi madregos ruach hakodesh, hilamatam enevua, ulamal mi baskol, shemishtamshim ba, bebayashini lachar shepaskol enevua, paskol rumetum kemosh yisker rabbeinu." This is somewhere in between different ways of Hashem communicating. So there's the baskol, which is not Hashem's direct communication, whatever it is, but it's something of an echo of a way of Hashem getting the message across, but not his exact dibur. Then we have nevuah, which is a very high level of understanding Hashem's ratzon. And the Urim V'Tumim, he says, is somewhere in between. The Rambam says something similar. I think he has a lower level in Mar Nevuchim of what exactly of a level that it is. But it's the exact opposite of the Ibn Ezra. And it fits very much with the Ramban's methodology there. Ibn Ezra was trying to make it something more practical, something that could be more understood, just like in those times they had people who could tell fortunes. So too, the Urim V'Tumim was our way of doing that with physical things. And the Ramban says, no, it's Shem Hashem. It's Shem Hashem working in two ways, the Urim V'Tumim, and it's almost like Nevuah. And that's a little bit of the mystery of the Urim V'Tumim. I just thought it was a very nice idea practically for us. We really also in our lives have Urim V'Tumim. And some we need both. That we get a message from Hashem, that's the Urim. We get some sort of message. Something happens to us. Something causes us to think a certain way. And we know, we definitely know Hashem wants something from us here. We ran at crosswords. The question is, what does he want from us? That's the harder part. And that's the Tumim. And that's something that we have to develop. How do we develop it? The Ramban says, what's a Tumim? The more one's heart is tamim, is pure, like Rashi and Ramban say when the Torah says by Avram, and also tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha. What tamim means is that we don't start making cheshbonos and thinking through other means of communicating what Hashem wants. We're wholehearted, like Avram. We walk with what Hashem wants. We know that what Hashem clearly wants are the things that He told us to do. And the more we walk in that straight path and don't try to put into what we want with what Hashem wants from us, right? Sometimes we know what Hashem wants, but we also know what we want, and we try to make the two work together. Sometimes they can't work together. And when someone who's tamim says, okay, they can't work together, but I know what Hashem wants, I'm going to do it. The more a person is on that path, the more his tumim will help the urim be able to figure out what exactly the message that Hashem is telling us. So I think it's a practical application of this Urim V'Tumim, besides the mysteries that Ramban revealed to us. Good job.